Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Welcome in, everybody. Happy Friday to you. Brought to you by Claude Nolan Cadillac. Every Friday, it's Jaguars Today live at Everbank Field. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Tony, can the Jags keep it from being a gronking to remember this weekend? he gronk smashes the entire league. Jags wouldn't be the first, wouldn't be the last that Gronk would get.
No.
Can they possibly slow down the force of nature in the middle of that offense that is Rob Gronkowski? I mean, Brady's bad enough, but when he's got a superhuman freak on the other end catching the ball and rumbling with great agility, speed, power, size, everything you'd want, it makes for a long day sometimes.
No, it does. I suppose he is and has been injury prone.
He has been. What are you saying?
There's that.
There is that.
His own body could get in the way of him. And that's pretty much the only thing that has stopped him at this point in his career. Honestly, the only thing that has slowed down Rob Gronkowski is when he can't be on the field. And when he is on the field, he is a monster. And, we just got a tweet in. Could Telvin Smith being able to cover him one-on-one every now and then? No. No, nobody's going to cover this guy.
No, not one-on-one.
On
an occasional play.
Right. There are teams that have been trying to scheme how to cover this guy for 6 years now and haven't found a way. So the idea of scheming Rob Gronkowski out of the game is a near impossibility, especially down there on the goal line. I mean, it's almost aggravating watching the New England Patriots on the goal line and the options they have with Gronkowski putting them on the line of scrimmage and then just putting them out wide. And then you're watching whoever's going out there with him one-on-one going, he's got no chance.
No chance.
You can't cover the guy.
He's going to take one step, turn around, post you up, and there's not a whole lot
you can do whatever he wants.
He can go over you.
The one last week, the one he scored on last week, he just ran 5 yards and cut in. And he's just wide open, and you're sitting there watching going, yep.
That's Gronk.
Yep. Like, you just can't let that. When Gronk scores, you can't sit there and go, that's it. The game's over. It's like, huh, the Jags got to score.
Yeah, chances are Rob Gronkowski will get some.
Yeah. Right?
Chances are Julian Edelman will get some. What you hope is they don't go crazy. What you hope then also, Tony, is that you limit guys like Deion Lewis can't kill you this week. You can't allow Deion Lewis to be the third major weapon, 100 combined yards, 6 or 7 receptions and ankle-breaking tackles or making missed tackles on third downs and picking up key first downs.
And that's where the turnovers are going to come if they're going to come. It's going to be a guy like Deion Lewis where, the Patriots still put the ball in his hands and he coughs it up. That's where turnovers are.
He did, I believe, last week.
He did.
But he's playing well enough that Belichick was willing to overlook one.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So if they're going to turn the ball over a lot, those are the kind of guys that are going to do it. It's going to be Lewis and Blunt and that level of guy. Gronk and Edelman have shown in this league that they're not coughing the ball up.
It's so interesting to me. I know LeGarrette Blunt's only played 1 week, and we don't know what the usage will be going forward because the Patriots historically have been, the way I describe it, is the most game plan specific team in the National Football League. They'll look like one kind of offense 1 week, entirely different the next.
And you'll know 5 minutes into watching a Patriots game what the game plan
is. They're going to go power run all day. They're going to spread it out and go five wide all day.
You just don't know going in.
And they're equally comfortable doing both. And you forget about LeGarrette Blunt and how good he is with the football. He is a load to bring down, especially when he gets up ahead of steam. And right now he's a bit of an afterthought because Deion Lewis is playing as well as he is. The rest of the guys, Amendola, Aaron Dobson, they're not superstars. Don't let them become superstars on Sunday afternoon. Don't let those guys, don't let the third guy, whoever that is, be it Deion Lewis, Danny Amendola, don't let that third guy have the big game. If Gronk goes for 100 in the touchdown and Edelman catches 10, 11 balls for 100 yards, Tony, you can beat that. Okay.
Yeah.
You have to expect that level of production out of those guys. Hold down the rest of them. Don't make the big mistakes yourself on offense. Don't create turnovers in short fields for Tom Brady. Chandler Jones, Jamie Collins, these guys are playmakers. They can disrupt, and you can't be coughing up the ball, particularly on your half of the football field.
Yeah, that as much as anything is what got Buffalo beat last week. It wasn't just that Brady was on, and he clearly was. It was, a couple times you're watching Tyrod Taylor, who played a pretty good game last week, but a couple times he gets pressure and he just flings it up into the air. And in the middle of the field, and you're watching going, what do you think's going to happen on a play like that? You turn the ball over a couple times against an offense that's running the way the New England Patriots are right now, you're really limiting any opportunity you have to win a game.
You're not going to play a perfect game, right? You know that, so you have to be able to overcome some mistakes, and Blake Bortles is not going to play a perfect game. He's going to have some incompletions. The question is, will he have the crippling turnover? And let's hope not. He had the first one in game one against Josh Norman, the pick six. And then last week, Tony could have had one that had Brent Grimes held on to it, and he keeps running. Maybe Miami gets a late field goal in the first half. Instead, the Jags were able to capitalize on a pass interference penalty, and Jason Myers hit a field goal. He's another key guy. Every opportunity to get points on the board. You prefer touchdowns. If the field goal opportunities are there, you got to nail them. You got to play close to perfect. You don't have to play perfect. You're never going to play a perfect game. You can't sit there and go into it, and if you're in the first quarter and you make one major mistake, say, oh, wow, this thing's over with. That's not the mindset. You got to be able to overcome and trade punches a little bit with the New England Patriots. Won't be easy. Can it be done? We'll discuss that over the course of the next couple of hours. Mike Reese will join us coming up in about 30 minutes from ESPN Boston. John Osier will stop by as well with a little oh-no's look at the Jaguars. What about Brandon Linder's availability? Not practicing again yesterday. That doesn't look good, although Gus Bradley called him 50-50 to play this week. We'll hear from the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars coming up. And we welcome your calls today as well. 641-1010. That's also the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line, 904-641-1010. Tweet Tony and I at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and of course at 1010XL Tyler for Tyler Devitt. Your question of the day, the same one it is every Friday, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Give us your three keys to victory. If the Jags are to pull the upset, what are the three key factors that they need to accomplish on Sunday to come away with a win, their second on the season?
He's seriously asking that question.
I am seriously asking that question, Bill, and don't you interrupt me again, okay? And that'll be another $100,000 fine for you and maybe a law. Well, you already got your first-round pick taken away for next year, but I'll be happy to take away 2017's if they let me. All right, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts. We'll take your tweets. We'll talk Jags for the next couple of hours. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday right here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Yeah, for sure. You know, when it first happened, New York, whatever it was, New York, you know, I thought it'd be just a quick little thing. You know, be ready to go week one. Came out of Carolina, practice, you know, aggravated it or, you know, a little bit lower. And, you know, then I got a little nervous that it was turning into something worse. So backed off, and, you know, now I'm starting to feel pretty good.
You know, we try to utilize all our back skill set, you know, and I think sometimes you think Toby is short yardage back, but he just gives a different style on first and second down, too. You know, all those backs, we'll look to utilize them in certain situations, and we understand the different styles that they provide for us.
It sounds, Tony, like Toby Gerhart may be making his regular season debut for the Jacksonville Jaguars for 2015.
It does, which is good news.
It is good news. Not necessarily good news for T.J. Yeldon's fantasy prospects, but I think the Jags' fantasy would be to come home 2-1. Their hope, their desire, however you want to put it. And that's more important. And as you know, Gus said, the question asked to him last night on the Gus Bradley Show by Jeff Lagerman was, you know, what about Toby's role? Is he a short yardage specialist? How are you looking at him this year? Or words to that effect. And he's obviously, you heard what he had to say. He's more than that. You probably see him in there. And especially with Denard Robinson out, I wonder if they, who becomes the change of pace guy, Tony? Is it Toby Gerhart coming back for the first time in a while, coming off an abdominal injury? Or do you use Bernard Pierce maybe for 8 to 10 carries and use Toby more in that short yardage kind of role?
Yeah, I'm curious to see what it's going to look like, too. Look, this is a team that was really successful on those short yard situations in the preseason, and you could say, well, teams aren't game planning in the preseason. Well, you don't need a game plan to stop 3rd and 1.
Right. When you line up, you're getting your short yardage defense or you're not.
Right. And they haven't had as much success in the first 2 weeks running those kind of plays without Toby Gerhart. They just haven't had the same level of success. And there were a couple of those times in the preseason where there wasn't much there and Toby just carried 2 or 3 guys for an extra 2 or 3 yards and got the yardage needed. They've missed that in their offense through the first couple of weeks. They've missed it down on the goal line. You know, it's what he adds as far as that big back who can still make somebody miss every now and then in open space. They don't have anybody else right now that can do that.
But I think more importantly, his ability to push the pile right now, because right now that's the one thing TJ Yeldon has most struggled with, I think, is some of that short yardage, you know, just physically being able to, you know, when you run into that mass of bodies, being able to move them back a yard. And that's what Toby was very effective at, running behind Tyson Alualu in the preseason. If you'd like to get in today on Jaguars Today, you know the number, 641-1010. John Osher always comes in to ask me something while we're on the air. And 11:15, how's that work for you, John? No? Is that not work? No, it doesn't work for John. All right, we'll see you Monday, John Osher. Thank you very much. Good to talk to you. It's been a wonderful chat, Johnny O. Blake Bortles, what did he do the best in the game versus Miami? Here's what Gus Bradley had to say about that.
You know, one of the plays that stood out was the long pass to Allen Robinson. He made that check based on what he saw defensively. They talked about
the touchdown or the 50-50
ball? The touchdown.
Okay.
The touchdown. So, I mean, they anticipated they might see it. He made the check. He changed the front, or the protection series. He brought in the tight end to help in the protection. He gave a signal, you know, to Allen Robinson. You know, it's unique. We don't normally do it, but it was a, you know, opportunity that this game presented, and we hit it. And, you know, for Blake to manage everything like that, what a great step. And then also the poise. You know, he came back, and it really was a tribute to him. Even the, you know, the 2 minute with 18 seconds left, you know, we said we're going to be bold, and almost threw a pick. And you saw him, he bounced back the next play. He quickly recovered, hit T.J. Yeldon, and then gave a catchable ball opportunity to Marquise Lee, which, you know, we got the penalty on.
Gus Bradley last night also talking about on the Gus Bradley show what he was most proud of coming out of that Dolphins win.
You look at how we handle adversity. And, you know, we say we play hard. You know, that's one thing. You hear comments and you see it on tape, and it stems back to Chris Clemens the week before blocking the field goal. And then to carry that over in the next game and play as hard as we did all phases. And then to come back from adversity, because I didn't think we did a very good job the first week of that. Mm-hmm. And to see us take, you know, big growth steps in that area, I think was, you know, what we're most excited about.
Well, we all figure there's going to be plenty of opportunities to show you can bounce back from adversity this week, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't figure to shut down the Patriots offensively. What do you think is a reasonable number, Tony? What is to hold New England to? What's the score you're saying, all right, realistically, we think we can keep them to what, 24 maybe? I mean, it's still, they've outscored that both games. What did they score, 28 against Pittsburgh and 40 this past week against Buffalo?
I was going to say 31.
31, all right. So now you're talking about you're going to need to score probably 5 touchdowns to win this game.
Yeah.
You know, go out and do it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the mindset I think they're going to have to carry in. Now, they're probably going to think, oh, let's not concede 5 touchdowns or 31 points, however, 4 touchdowns and a field goal to Tom Brady and company, and they're not going to concede it. But, you know, it's a lot of other teams have tried not to concede things to this New England offense.
No doubt.
Greg Olson, Jeff Loggeman was talking about last night, said Olson also deserves credit for no sacks allowed, and how much did Gus Bradley agree that Olson's play calling played into the fact that the Jags were able to not allow a sack for the first time in 25 games.
Yeah, he did. And that's, you know, one of the things that I think I gravitated towards Greg in the interview process, because he had a plan and his protection plan and how to utilize it. But, you know, he did a good job. Both him, Doug Marone, Luke Butkus, I mean, really the whole offensive staff did a nice job setting something up. And then it really comes back to the players and executing the plan.
Gus Bradley last night also talking about all the new coaches on his staff and the experience of facing the New England Patriots in past coaching jobs.
I guess we're not doing that one.
Okay.
I'm told.
Technical
issues with that. Are we good on the rest of them, Tyler?
Yes.
All right. Oh, that's outstanding. All right. So now I'm going to imagine what Gus said. He said, that's great.
Yeah.
He said,
it's always a challenge going up against the Patriots.
It's exciting.
We're looking forward to it.
Oh, he's got it now. Technical issues are resolved.
Here's without a doubt, it helps. You know, the guys, you always draw from people's experiences, and those guys have had some experiences, you know, playing in New England and you know what it's about, and, you know, maybe how they attacked it or how they were attacked and kind of the philosophy. All those experiences are important to draw from.
I could have sworn there'd be a that's great in that answer. I would have been wrong. I was wrong. All right, Gus Bradley, again, last night on the Gus Bradley Show here on 1010XL, 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. on Thursdays. We've noted the large amount of injuries the Jags face. Five starters, you consider five starters. Dante Fowler Jr. is already gone for the year, and you kind of put him out of mind because you knew he was gone. But five guys that, were they healthy right now, would be starting, were on the inactive list last week, along with Toby Gerhardt and Dwayne Grotz. That's a bunch of guys right now. Most of those don't look like they'll be back for week three, and Gus talked about the large amount of injuries this team has faced already.
Injuries are a part of it, and that's why you have 53-man roster and 10 on practice squad. You know, it was very evident last week we needed guys to step up when they had their opportunity, and guys did. And, you know, it'll be no different this week with some of those injuries that are taking place. It gives guys opportunities. And a guy like Sam Young, all of a sudden there's a story that took place. You know, everybody's so excited, coaching staff, players, about his opportunity and how he took advantage of it. And Peyton Thompson and guys like that. So, you know, if all these injuries stay true and we are missing some of these guys, it'll create opportunities for other guys.
Talking about injuries, and one that popped up this week in the middle of the week during practice, the right guard, Brandon Linder, who's now being talked about as a 50-50 shot to play basically this weekend. Gus Bradley last night gave an update on Linder.
Well, he's doing pretty good. You know, I'd say he's 50-50 right now. You know, we'll have to take a look at it and see how he progresses with this injury and, you know, see if it gets his strength back and then go from there.
50-50. Coin flip, game time decision. Does he get his strength back? How do you tell that if he's not practicing, Tony? I mean, you know, I'm hopeful that Brandon Linder plays. I think Tyler Shatley's a solid player, but Linder maybe an exceptional player for his position. I know NFL guards aren't often thought of in those terms, but I mean, you haven't heard really the occasional, bad series at Brandon Linder, right? Since he's been here. You really can't point to a game where you say, wow, he really got worked. I'm sure some games are better than others, but he has been a instant impact player since being drafted last year by the Jacksonville Jaguars in the third round. So clearly, especially if it's on a day you want to run the football, you want to have that guy out there, no question about it. You'd also love to have Cindric Marks. We talked about, you know, quarterbacks like Tom Brady who don't scramble around much and just move in the pocket. They hate it when they get the push up the middle. Right?
Yeah.
And that's where I think they'll really miss Cindric Marks. This week, Jeff Loggeman was talking about Marks last night and saying the last thing you want to do when you're rehabbing a knee injury is have a setback, so you've got to be smart and take your time. Here's what Gus had to say about it.
And I think last week that was tough. You know, here he is putting the pads on, going through individual, and maybe found a couple areas that, hey, these are the areas I need to strengthen. And that's tough. You know, you want everything to be so good. So not really a setback, just more probably understanding where he's at. Now this week had a good practice, had a couple good individual sessions, and think it's coming along pretty good.
As a follow-up to that, continuing, we talk about the rehab for Cindric Marks and Jeff talking about, because he's been through this injury. He's torn his ACL before, talking with Coach Gus and saying that, you know, you go through those individual drills where you're really not going up against anybody. You're going up against air. It's completely different once you start really trying to get back into the mode of football, and Coach Bradley agrees.
It is, and that's one of the reasons why we didn't put him on that IR designated to return. We felt like he needed this time to practice with us and this individual time and to strengthen those areas. But, you know, I think Mono said he squatted over 400 pounds three times, you know, so you're starting to see it come back. So that's exciting. How long away? I'm not sure, but making good progress.
Well, what about the big offseason acquisition on offense, Julius Thomas? What kind of progress is he making with his injury?
Yeah, he is. He's doing a nice job progressing. He's out there now running around, you know, and when we're in some team segments, he goes off to another field and runs routes. And so, yeah, he's doing a nice job. I believe he goes back Monday for another checkup, and then we'll find out more.
Yeah, and this week a challenge for Gus and just trying to keep his guys grounded maybe a little bit coming off that win against Miami, especially going up against a team like the New England Patriots. And Jeff asked him about that last night and trying to keep these guys loose going into this game up in New England.
It's a great question, and it's a challenge every week to look at where your team is. And I think a consistent message helps them, you know, and I think really that they learn to trust themselves. And if they can just carry it over from the practice field to the game field, that's really how easy it is. you know, some of the same things that we see. And sometimes that heightened environment gets players, you know, to where they try to do too much, and that's where you lose them. That's why I think last week was really a good barometer for us, and that players saw that, experienced it, and really learned from that.
By the way, I just wanted to acknowledge a report that's out there that I don't think we're putting a whole lot of credence into right now. Craig Carton is a morning talk host on WFAN along with Boomer Esiason. Boomer and Carton is the show. And he says, according to a, quote, very influential person in the NFL, end quote, that he spoke with yesterday, that there is, quote, no doubt in that person's mind that Tom Brady will serve his suspension before the end of the season, a four-game suspension. To that, most people are scoffing around the league. Because how can you possibly have no doubt, Tony? You don't even know if it's going to be, you know, adjudicated in time. The appeal, you don't know what the timetable is going to be on that. And even if it is, how can you possibly say, with the way the NFL has bungled so many things with the courts of late versus the NFLPA, that there's no doubt in anyone's mind? I mean, you can say anything you want. Sounds like somebody's blowing a lot of hot air. It may turn out to be right. I think it's highly unlikely that he does, but if he is right, and he had no doubt, he's probably a fool, and he just got lucky, because I can't imagine. I mean, you could ask Goodell himself. How could Goodell have any confidence that there's no doubt that the appeal will be upheld? You don't even know what judge is going to hear it, and it's just absolutely crazy. But that report's making the rounds of all the various top league websites and sports websites out there, so I'm sure you'll hear about it at some point today. Put it this way, it ain't happening before Sunday, so who really cares, right?
That's the truth.
Mike Reese, ESPN Boston, going to join us next. We'll take a look at this New England Patriot team. Are they beatable? Where might the flaws lie with the Pats? We'll discuss that coming up next. Your calls welcome as well throughout the course of the next hour and a half at 641-1010. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. We'll hear from Bob Babich coming up a little bit later on, Jaguars defensive coordinator as well. This is Jaguars Today on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome our next guest to the Metro Diner Chat Counter.
These are delicious!
On 1010XL, Metro Diner, where the locals eat.
Lynch to his left, Baldwin to the left as well. Stack receivers, two to the right. Russell Wilson extends the hands he has. Wilson, quick throw. And it's intercepted! Intercepted by Malcolm Butler! Butler has it at the one! Malcolm Butler stepped in front of the throw!
No way!
And the Patriots have possession with 20 seconds to go in Super Bowl 49 with a four-point lead over the Seahawks.
It's got to be one of the dumbest calls offensively in Super Bowl history.
There you go, Tony. I'll say that wasn't the Seahawk Radio Network right there on the call. Patriots Radio Network of a game clincher from Super Bowl 49, Patriots over the Seahawks for the fourth title of the Belichick-Brady era. Joining us now to discuss the New England Patriots, a guy who knows them probably as well as just about anybody in the media, Mike Reese from ESPN Boston. He joins us here on 1010XL. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for taking a few minutes with us, man. And I got to ask you, I know you've heard this narrative and you've been around the team plenty. Is this a year where they're out to just shut everybody down and, you know, stick it in their face, much like 2007 was seen to be, you know, with the 18-0 run, and every opportunity it seemed like the Patriots would have you down, they'd put their foot on your throat and they would step down as hard as possible. Is this the year that's kind of motivated by all the offseason activity that the Patriots want to leave no doubt about their place among the great teams in the game?
Well, I think there's probably some truth to that. Last Sunday in Buffalo, you know, Patriots went for it on 4th and 1 twice, throwing the ball. They were unsuccessful both times. And I think that those type of decisions when you're, you know, leading in the game and you keep throwing the ball like they did late in that game with a, you know, significant lead, leads to that line of thought. I'm not 100% sure I buy it, you know, fully, but I think with Tom Brady, there's certainly something there. The idea that, you know, after the offseason he went through, you know, he'd like to prove a point this year, no doubt.
I want to start the conversation, Mike, with the defense of this Patriots team, because we all know how great they've been offensively for the last handful of years, and especially through the first 2 weeks of the season. But with all the losses they had on defense throughout the offseason, not only in the secondary but on that defensive line, where do you feel like they are on that side of the ball as far as answering those major questions they had in both coverage and stopping the run coming into 2015?
The questions still remain. You know, if you're the Jaguars coming in here and looking to spring the upset, you look at a defense that's giving up an average of 5.7 yards a carry through the first two games of the season. And if I'm Gus Bradley, I'm thinking TJ Yeldon, let's try to get this going. So I'd start there. And then in the secondary, which is probably, you know, the place where you can look at it from a personnel standpoint and say, whenever you go from Darrell Revis and Brandon Browner as your top two corners to someone else, you're probably going to have a drop-off. It's hard to get better from those two. And the story that's really intriguing, and you guys played the clip from the Super Bowl, is Malcolm Butler. You know, he goes from Super Bowl hero number five cornerback on the depth chart last year to number one corner, playing the left side where Darrell Revis played last year. And he shows signs of being a very, very good player. You know, he only played 16% of the defensive snaps last year as an undrafted free agent out of West Alabama. This year, he's playing every snap. And I'd say, you know, well, there's been some up and down moments, but overall, more up than down. Antonio Brown of the Steelers, one of the best receivers in the league, and Antonio Brown got him a couple times in week one, but Butler also competed, and I thought he played well last week, so that's really the answer. They're hoping Malcolm Butler can sort of rise up and be, you know, a Darrell Revis type, but it's a drop-off in the secondary, and they've given up some big plays, which, if you're the Jaguars, Allen Robinson, Blake Bortles hitting some of those big ones last week against the Dolphins, there might be some opportunities there for them on Sunday.
Nothing to see here, Mike. We're not going to throw the ball to Allen Robinson this week. Don't even worry about it, all right? Hey, look, you know, when you talk about that, he really did a terrific job at Antonio Brown, and the stats got skewed because Brown catches a touchdown with under 10 seconds left in the game, and you look at the numbers and you say, wow, Antonio Brown in his typical game, it didn't really play out that way for much of the contest. Is Butler a guy that will shadow the number one guy? I mean, how do the Patriots attack it if they say, all right, Allen Robinson had the big game last week, are they a team that's going to say, let's double him and maybe put our top guy on the number two, or will Butler try to follow him around? What is the approach that they use?
Well, they'll vary it from week to week. To give you a feel, through the first 2 weeks, he followed Antonio Brown all over the field in week one. Last week against the Bills, who have Sammy Watkins, Percy Harvin, and company, he played more of a side, you know, so they switch it from week to week. They're very, very liberal in terms of how they sort of reinvent themselves, if you will, every week, both offensively and defensively. So what they'll do Sunday against the Jaguars is really anyone's guess.
For fans who don't pay attention a whole lot, maybe to the Patriots defensively, talk a little bit about Jamie Collins and exactly what type of player he is, where they can expect to see him on the field this weekend.
So this is a fascinating player. He wears number 91, and he's a third-year player out of southern Mississippi. And he was drafted in the second round a couple years ago in 2013. And he was drafted on a team that didn't win a game his senior year. And he's an athlete. And part of the reason he wasn't a higher pick was that he didn't really have a defined position. In college at Southern Mississippi, he actually played a little safety initially, then he played a little linebacker, and then he played a little defensive end, and there was some thought as to, where's a guy like this fit? But from an athletic standpoint, you look at this guy and say, he's just a freak. And he played 25% of the defensive snaps as a rookie, sort of like trying to figure it all out, like, who am I as a football player? Where do I fit here? And you remember in the playoffs that year, he sort of broke out with this ridiculous performance against the Colts, and he built on that last year and became an every-down player. He'll sometimes have the green dot as the primary communicator for the defense leading the huddle. He'll blitz up the A-gaps. He'll cover down the field. And he is a very soft-spoken player. You won't hear much of him in the media, but he's a central piece of this defense in that front seven.
ESPN Boston's Mike Reese here with us on 1010XL. Mike, let's switch it over to the offensive side. They're playing with a couple of rookies on the offensive line. Doesn't seem like they've suffered major struggles because of that. How are they so able to acclimate that many young players? I mean, the Jags went through it last year. They had so many rookies playing on offense. But a couple of rookie starters right next to each other on the offensive line, and it doesn't seem to be slowing them down at all.
Well, so let's start with the obvious. We want to give them credit because they've done a great job. You still got to do it. But let's start with the obvious. It helps when you have number 12, Tom Brady, back there. And so start there, because last week you looked at what they did against the Bills, and that ball was coming out very quick out of Brady's hands. So what they did was they made it easier on those young guys up front because they didn't ask them to protect consistently, you know, for a long period of time. There were times where Brady dropped back and had to survey the field, and those young guys held up. So you got to give them credit. At the same time, it's also a credit, in my view, to the coaching staff, to tailor their plans so they don't put their players in a position where their weaknesses can be exposed and, in turn, where their strengths can be accentuated. And you're talking about, you're in SEC country down there for the most part, and you're talking about David Andrews out of Georgia, undrafted player, went through the draft, wasn't selected, in part because he's undersized, but he started 40 games at Georgia in the best conference in the country for college football, what many would say, and he stepped in. So it's a combination of a little bit of Brady, a little bit of coaching, a little bit of Andrews, and, you know, let's also say a little bit of scouting, because anyone could have had a player like that. So they sort of mix it all together, and it's a good system. It's in his 16th year, this offensive system. Tom Brady, think about that. Blake Bortles, second year, second system.
Right.
Tom Brady's been in the same offensive system for 16 years, so they really know what they're doing up here in New England.
Last week was officially the 2015 debut of LeGarrette Blount, but only officially. He didn't play a whole lot last week. How much do you expect his role to expand here going into week two for him?
Yeah, it'll expand. He only played 7 snaps last week, and part of that was that they went with a pass-first plan where they spread the field, and the way the Patriots run their offense, you know, when they do that, it becomes their third down back, if you will, becomes their lead back. Deion Lewis played 73 of 86 snaps last week. Patriots are one of the least balanced teams through the first 2 weeks of the season in terms of, you know, passing versus running, but that doesn't mean they don't want to run it when they see the opportunity to do it. And all indication that I get this week is that we'll see more of LeGarrette Blount than we did last week.
Yeah, it's funny, trying to predict the Patriot running backs under Bill Belichick. On the occasions when he hasn't had a Corey Dillon or an Antoine Smith, it's been, week to week, anybody's guess as to how they'll be utilized, and that's great. It makes it difficult to game plan against them. And, Mike, I got to assume the Jags' game plan is installed versus Tom Brady, so you're not giving away state secrets here, but just from your perspective of watching him over the years, would you say, you know what, look, he may kill you on the blitz, but if you sit back in coverage, he's going to pick you apart as well. Would you come after Brady, or would you maybe rush 3 and flood the zone? What do you think is the best approach?
Well, so to me, the best plans that have sort of slowed this offense down are the ones that can get there with the standard 4 rushers and, you know, then play 7 in coverage. But a key is that, you know, you spin the dial, you mix it up, because you don't want to do the same thing over and over again. You guys recall that playoff game against the Jaguars when, you know, Mike Smith, the defensive coordinator, I think stayed pretty much in the same coverage in that game. And the idea was, look, you know, we want to try to make him beat us and work his way down the field. And I think Brady had, what, 2 or 3 incomplete passes the whole
game.
Don't
remind us.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, but you know what I mean, guys? Like, that's sort of the balance, because the plan, you know, you could say it's flawed in retrospect, but look, you know, you come after him, you know, he might beat you on 1 or 2 plays, right? So to me, this is a little different when you talk about what the Jaguars do under Gus Bradley, because it's a lot of that Seahawks influence, and they play a certain style. Bill Belichick has made this point. It's a player's game in this type of matchup. There's not going to be tremendous amount of adjustments and too many wrinkles. It's just about going out and executing, and we saw that Super Bowl is a good example of it, where the Patriots use that short passing game, and really you have to be sort of precise and work your way down the field, and I think, you know, he avoids the mistake so, you know, as well as anyone, and that's the challenge going up against him.
Before we let you go, Mike, Dominic Easley, the first-round pick a couple years ago, has obviously had his injury problems. He's on the injury report again this week. Do you get the sense that he's going to play this weekend or not?
I would lean toward no, and the reason why is that after this game, the Patriots have their bye week, and Bill Belichick generally takes a long-range view on these situations, especially early in the year. And I went up to Dominic in the locker room yesterday just to you know, see if he had a few minutes to chat, and he waved me off. He waved off a couple other reporters. And a lot of times when that happens, it's usually an indication that maybe the player isn't all the way back yet and doesn't want to talk until he's ready to play a game. So my hunch would be we'd probably wait another couple weeks on him.
All right, we will find out when he first hits the field, but it doesn't sound like it's going to be this weekend. Mike, do you make score predictions? What did you do? What did you predict if you do?
Yeah, I think I was around New England 30, Jacksonville 17, and I'm a big believer in what the Jaguars are building down there. I just think it's a tough spot to come up to New England, and come away with the win.
Oh, we agree. I mean, trust us. We understand the magnitude of the upset, and that's what it would be. But they're going to come up with every intention to do some harm this weekend, as every team in the NFL should. Mike, we appreciate your work. You do a great job. You really do. And on Twitter, at Mike Reese, R-E-I-S-S for Mike's last name there. And, of course, you can check him out on ESPN Boston. We appreciate the time, Mike. And not good luck this week to the Pats, but the rest of the way. We appreciate you, man.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great day.
All right, buddy. There he goes, Mike Reese, covering the Patriots for ESPN Boston. Did it for a long time up there, Tony. Was he with the Globe or the Herald? Which one was it?
I don't remember.
He probably still writes that column, Reese's Pieces, for ESPN Boston. It was one of the staples up there in New England as far as, you know, odds and ends to look forward to the weekend. Jags have their work cut out for them, that's for sure. Boston Globe is where Mike Reese was before he went to ESPN Boston. So there you go. We appreciate Mike Reese stopping by. We've got the state and football history right around the corner, the Honda Drive around the NFL. You also hear coming up from Bob Babbage, Jaguars defensive coordinator. He's got his work cut out for him this weekend as well. It's Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you this week by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Tony, September 25th, 2005. We go way back, 10 years ago. Tampa Bay Buccaneer running back Carnell Cadillac Williams ran for 158 yards, and in doing so, became the first player in NFL history to start his career with three consecutive 100-yard rushing games. His total of 454 yards in his first three games, also a record. He broke the record of Alan Ameche, as in Unitas gives to Ameche, and the Colts are the champions of the world.
Yes.
1954, former Jaguar running backs coach and a well-respected coach in many ranks, coach at Alabama. Of course, for a while, Sly Croom, born on this date. Happy 61st to Sylvester Croom. 1971, John Lynch, two-time Hall of Fame finalist now each of the last couple of years. He turns 44 today. 9 Pro Bowls and 2 first-team All-Pro nods for John Lynch. Oh, in the Wayback Machine, the Jaguars draft pick in 2004 in the third round. Was born on this date in 1981. Jorge Cordova, Tony. Third round selection. Ended up playing 15 games for the Jags. He posted these remarkable totals. 6 solo tackles, but wait. 3 assists to go along with it as well. Those are career numbers, by the way, for Jorge Cordova in a Jaguar uniform. Born on this date in 1985.
Third round pick.
Happy 30th to Megatron today. Uh-oh, you better trade him in all your dynasty leagues. He hit the magic 3-0, Tony. It's all downhill from here.
That's what they say.
A little surprising to me, Calvin Johnson's only been to 5 Pro Bowls. 5 Pro Bowls, 3 first-team All-Pro appearances. He is the single-season yardage record holder and second among receivers in single-game yardage as well. He actually, though, holds the record for a 4-quarter game. Flipper Anderson set the mark of 336 in an overtime contest, and also born in the state in 1993, young wide receiver for the New Orleans Saints, Brandon Cooks, former Biletnikoff Award winner as the best collegiate receiver in the country a couple of years ago. Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, they bring you this date in football history. re-roofs, repairs in your home, for your business, any roofing issues whatsoever. You just need to checked out, make sure it's hurricane ready. Bob Roberts on the case. License number CCC056797. Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, bringing you this date in football history. Give him a call at 287-7756. That is this date.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Well, the statistical comparisons are flying for Washington quarterback Kirk Cousins. His career numbers look very similar to Blaine Gabbert, and he has thrown as many career interceptions as Jamarcus Russell and about 100 fewer pass attempts than it took Jamarcus to get to that number of 23 career interceptions. But his head coach Jay Gruden says there is no quarterback controversy in D.C. RG3, inexplicably to me, is still on the Washington roster, and the noise for Cousins to be benched for either RG3 or Colt McCoy will heat up if Cousins continues to turn the ball over at this kind of prodigious rate. I mean, it is at an all-time high.
I agree that the noise will increase, but Jay Gruden said this is his guy. There's no quarterback controversy.
He certainly did. According to a Philadelphia team source, Eagles running back DeMarco Murray is expected to play on Sunday. Murray has missed some practice time this week after leaving practice on Wednesday with a hamstring injury. Apparently, it's not severe enough that it's going to cost him any playing time, although what does it really matter when you have 21 carries for 11 yards?
You got DeMarco Murray. They can't run the ball, right? They haven't been able to run the ball. Going up against the Jets defense that is playing outstanding football right now, and he has a hamstring twinge.
They'll go nuts.
Right, he'll run for 216 yards.
Right, you'll just be like, are you serious? Are you serious?
I'm not very eager, Tony, to put him in any of my lineups this weekend, although I'm going to be forced to play him in a league or two, I'm sure, in which I own DeMarco Murray. By the way, catch the Your Jacks Fantasy Football Show tomorrow night at 11 p.m. and then Sunday morning at 11:30. Tony and I will film that today over at the CW17 studios, as we always look back on Thursday Night Football, talk about the news of the week, Jags from a fantasy perspective. We'll give you FanDuel value plays, guys to avoid, break down some of the biggest games. Sounds like we have a lot going on there in a 30-minute broadcast.
It does.
Yeah.
We always do.
We'll take your tweets as well, as far as that goes. Duval Doom is not happy with Mike Reese. He's dubbed him smarmy, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know what else he was supposed to say, Tony. Smarmy, behaving in a way that seems polite, kind, or pleasing, but is not genuine or believable, is among the definitions for smarmy, okay? Revealing or marked by a smug, ingratiating, or false earnestness. And the point that Doom brought up was that we said, what's the best way to deal with Brady? You know, blitz him, lay back in coverage. He said, we'll probably go with four rushers and play coverage with the other seven. He goes, of course, that didn't work out so well. What is he supposed to say? It didn't work out well. The Jags got a sack in the first play of that playoff game by John Henderson. And Tony was death by a thousand little paper cuts.
Historically, you're looking at a 16-year career where probably the majority of the times Brady has lost, it's because teams were able to get pressure with their front four and disrupt them. Like, that's probably the trend over time. And it's just, but he's been so successful in the league that may be the most successful thing
right
against him. That doesn't mean it's a successful thing against
Brady. It's a
relative Brady
thing.
Right.
I mean, every year they're winning, you know, 11 to 16 games,
yeah,
as the case may be. So they're pretty good. They are tough to stop, but I think pressure up
you'd
the middle.
You'd be smarmy too, Jacksonville.
That's what I'm saying.
Honestly, if you had that 20-year run of success, basically, that the Patriots have had, when people ask you, well, how do you defend Blake Bortles if he's having that kind of success in 15 years? You're like, well, you could try this.
Right.
Like, that would be the conversation you'd have.
And nobody else has had success doing that, but you could try this. I mean, I agree. If the shoes were on the other feet, you'd feel the same way about, I didn't, look, you're prerogative to feel any way you like about,
sure,
Mike Reese.
And that is
the ESPN boss.
The most likely way for them to have success on Sunday is to be able to get pressure with their front four.
If they can do that, right?
Right.
I mean, enough guys back there. But again, Tony, I don't want to see anybody playing off the ball. I mean, Brady was slinging it in under 2 seconds on some instances against the Buffalo Bills. You heard Reese talk about how quickly he was getting rid of the football. And the other thing is, you know, you just don't know truly what they're going to do offensively and defensively. As he said, and I don't think he's trying to confuse anybody. I mean, again, the Jags aren't listening to waiting for Mike Reese to come on Friday morning and go, oh, he's going to provide us the blueprint for how we're going to defeat Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. No, they're studying the film. They know the tendencies. The problem is they switch up their tendencies as much as anybody in the league. And just as he talked about, Malcolm Butler, they used him to shadow Antonio Brown. They didn't have that guy last week, so they didn't do that. Now, maybe they feel that Allen Robinson is that guy when it comes to the Jaguars. The thing that Allen Robinson has going for him against Malcolm Butler is 4 inches in height, and he's got a 42-inch vertical. You know, so challenge Malcolm Butler. And Malcolm Butler's not on, you know, I think he's an emerging player, but he's not among the top 10 cornerbacks in the league. You know, it's not a guy that you have to worry about staying away from. You got to attack this guy, and he's going to probably make a play or two, but make more than he does and go win some of those 50-50 balls like Allen Robinson showed he could do this past weekend. 641-1010 if you want to get on board. That's the way to do it. Bob Babich is going to come up, and he's going to reveal all the secrets for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Actually, you know, I saw Bob this morning in the little break room down here at Everbank, and I don't think I'm telling any tales out of school. I said, Bob, I'm available. If you want to throw a body at Gronk, I'll be your guy. I'll be your blocking dummy, your tackling dummy, whatever. I'll go out there. I'm just letting you know I'm here for you if you need me. And he kind of laughed. He goes, my 75-year-old mom, and I'm paraphrasing here. He goes, last night she said, you better have a plan to deal with Gronk. That was tremendous. Words to that effect. So Bob Babich's lovely mother is a wise woman,
yeah,
apparently. So I just found that amusing. He's like, I know, trust me. We got our work cut out for us. They know what the task is for them. Claude Nolan Cadillac brings you Jaguars Today every Friday. Since 1905, Claude Nolan Cadillac serving as the preferred Cadillac dealer here in Northeast Florida. They've got the largest selection of new and pre-owned Cadillacs in Jacksonville, and part of the Claude Nolan Edge, absolutely zero dealer fees. You're not going to find a friendlier, more efficient, more cost-effective organization to buy an automobile from. Claude Nolan Cadillac, the elegance and experience of driving a Cadillac one step away. You can build your lasting relationship. How? By logging on to ClaudeNolan.com or visit them, better yet, at 4700 Southside Boulevard. Check out their state-of-the-art showroom. Check out all the outstanding options that they have on the lot. Call 642-5111 for more information from Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor. Tell them Mike Dempsey sent you. They're going to take great care of you at Claude Nolan Cadillac. They bring you Jaguars Today every Friday. We'll come back. We'll hear from Bob Babich, not his mom. We got to get his mom in studio sometime, Tony. I think she's an astute analyzer of the issues that the defense faces on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah.
But we'll hear that coming up. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, we continue along. Claude Nolan Cadillac brings you Jaguars Today every Friday. We'll hear from Bob Babich coming up here in a moment. Duval Doom now sending me headlines of different papers. He asked me, did Bob write this? It's so smarmy. I'm like, who the heck is Bob? What are you talking about? You talking about Mike Reese? I don't know what you're talking about. So
Bob Ryan?
Maybe Bob Ryan, perhaps. Maybe Bob Babich. I don't know. I doubt Bob Babich wrote any Boston paper headlines.
What about this week. Bob?
What about Bob? Oh, what a horrible, horrible, horrible
movie. I love that movie.
I bet you do.
I love it so much.
Let me guess. 19 times in the theater.
No. Nothing
and
like
you
that.
Own the... I was platinum edition DVD.
I don't own What About Bob.
What about all the extras, Tony?
It's just one of those that every time it's on, I stop to watch because I want to get to the Dreyfus freakout scene telling Bob to get out of the car. It's one of my favorite things.
One of the dumber movies of the last quarter century.
Oh, it's dumb.
I would say.
Oh, yes. It's super dumb, but it's fun.
There you go. All right, fun and dumb. All right, 641-1010 if you'd like to get in. It's also the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line today if you'd like to weigh in with a game prediction. Don't forget FanDuel.com/Mike if you want to go head-to-head with Tony and I. We're about 75 spots left. It will fill up over the course of the weekend.
I feel better about this week.
I do, too. I can't help but feel better about this week. I believe Tyler, what did you come in last week in the FanDuel League?
I think I finished like 195 out of 200.
Yeah, I think they're only 197 in by the time they close. So,
oh, well, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah, so you beat the three empty slots as well. Which
I'm just handing out my money.
Why not? It's $5. You know what? Everybody's got a chance. You got a dollar and a dream, as the Florida Lottery likes to tell you. This one, you actually have some control over. It is a game of skill. After all, go pick the players that are going to score the most points and take on Tony, Tyler, and myself this week at FanDuel.com/Mike.
Yeah.
And get some tips. We got the latest podcast that will go up in the on-demand section this afternoon. We'll do that after we film the Your Jacks Fantasy Football Show. And based on my performance last week, Tony, I would say, listen to what I say. And then do the opposite. Right? give me the full Costanza treatment this week. I deserve it after last week's poor performance. What can I tell you? All right, let's hear from the defensive coordinator of your Jacksonville Jaguars, Bob Babich, at his weekly press conference, and has talked about the difficulty of dealing with the guy that even Bob's mom knows the Jags need to cover tightly.
Great player, runs good routes, got great hands. He's a basketball guy that could get up and body you and get himself. Even though you may have him covered, he can position his body to make plays. And with his reach, you know, they have a great connection, obviously, between them. They know what Brady knows exactly what he's going to do, so he does a great job of putting the ball where he can catch it.
I think we understand he wasn't talking about Danny Amendola there.
Right? No, probably not.
That was Gronk.
Or Julian Edelman.
Or any other guy who doesn't have a great reach.
Right.
Yeah, not Scott Chandler. He doesn't have a great reach.
They got a bunch of short guys, and then they got this big monster playing tight end. Bob Babich yesterday also went on to talk about comparing Mercedes Lewis to Gronkowski.
Mercedes is a lot like, you know, Mercedes is tall, 6'6", and has a good reach, and, you know, when you throw it up to him, and, you know, when we played Mercedes in the past, that's a great example of, you know, the type of player that we're playing.
How tall is Charles Barkley, Tony? Like 6'4", right?
I mean, that's something like that.
Right,
yeah.
I mean, that's really what he is. So, in that sense, I'm a lot like Charles Barkley. Okay, because we're both 6'4". All right? Stop it right there. Just stop it right there. He is a big guy, I mean, but...
Mercedes had a 10-touchdown year.
He did have a 10-touchdown year. There's no question
Gronk
about that.
Gronk has only got three, I think.
Four.
Is it four now?
Yeah, he had three week one. He had one last week.
No, I was talking about 10-touchdown
seasons. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant on the season so far.
No, he's got four this year. I know that.
Yes, four this year. He probably does have three double-digit touchdown seasons. Look, we understand. He's difficult to deal with. He's not superhuman. He acts like it sometimes. Go out there and cover him. Bob Babich talking about Tom Brady always working at the line of scrimmage and really diagnosing what the defense is trying to do before they even snap the ball and how good he is at that pre-snap calling and the hard counts and all that stuff.
Well, I just think the guy has the whole package. I mean, I think he does a great job of if you're trying to disguise, he can hard count to get you to show what you're in. And then once he knows what you're in, he knows where he wants to go. And, you know, so, and he's obviously has pinpoint accuracy. And, you know, he's a very, very good football player that, you know, produces on the field. And obviously production second to none.
And we talked about it yesterday, Tony. You can try to disguise what you're doing. But the difficulty is that if you're bluffing the blitz and you come up and you're really dropping off, Brady will get you in a position and that whole offense seems to be on the same page. They have, you know, they decide in the middle of a drive all of a sudden to increase the tempo, to triple the tempo, and he'll get you bluffing what you don't really want to do and you're not in the position to get to where you want to be and he'll snap it before you expect him to. And so it's difficult sometimes to disguise what you're trying to do, but you have to mix it up. I think that's one thing Mike Reese said. You can't just say, we're going to rush four, or we're going to rush three, or we're going to send the house every single time. You got to mix it up and try to do it so he can't anticipate. Don't get into tendencies. And that's the good thing. Look, they're going to study the film, but they don't know the Jags' tendencies because they haven't played them much in recent years. So they don't know, this unit's tendencies under Gus Bradley, but typically the tendency has been, let's see if we can get after him with the front four. And they don't mix it up as much. I think this is the week, throw a little caution to the wind, Tony, and see if you can get home and send a little pressure at Tom Brady.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what the game plan's going to be because, like we just said, it's 16 years and it's been a struggle for the NFL to figure out a way to slow down Tom Brady. And he's playing as well as he ever has. Right now, I mean, he just won the Super Bowl. They were red hot going to the end of last year, and they've maintained that throughout this offseason. And one of the hot guys for them early on this year has been Deion Lewis, a bit of a surprise for this Patriots team as that kind of scat back coming out of the backfield, a receiver more so than a runner even. And Bob Babich talked about Deion Lewis yesterday.
I'll tell you, he catches the ball. They put him out there. They throw deep balls to him. They throw shallow routes to him. When he runs, he averages 5 yards a carry, you know, so he has good yards per carry. So he's a smaller, quick guy, scat guy. Once again, when you're approaching him to tackle him, he'll use your leverage against you. If you're overrunning it, he'll cut it back. And, you know, so I think he creates a problem as far as he's done a good job in the run game. But at the same time, they could put him out there and they could throw deep, short, intermediate to him. So he's a good weapon for him.
He's an interesting player because he was such a good performer as a feature back at Pitt in college.
Yep.
And never really could find a niche in the National Football League. He had some injuries, but never could translate that talent until he finds a system that he's perfectly suited for. He's not a guy that you want to line up in the I formation and run downhill 20 times a game. But I think part of the reason why he's running for 5 yards a carry, Tony, is because they have been spreading it out. And you put him back there, you're almost like, please hand it to Deion Lewis, right? We'll back off because we're trying to cover Edelman and Gronk and all these other options, and Brady's the most dangerous guy with the football. So if you hand it off to Deion Lewis and he picks up 4 or 5 yards, you almost feel like that's a victory sometimes. At least that's the way it's played out over the first two games.
Yeah, and we'll see if it continues here into week 3 against the Jags. I expect more of LeGarrette Blount this week than we saw last week, but Deion Lewis has certainly cut out a role for himself in this Patriots offense going forward, which has always had room for 3 or 4 different running backs on a week-to-week basis.
Oh, yeah. No question. I mean, that's the thing that they do. One more from Babich on James Sample and talking about switching positions up during practices this week and Sample's versatility.
He did a good job. I mean, you know, because of him being new to the position, he only had 3 days to practice the actual strong safety position. You know, we were limited in the things that we could do with him. So, you know, with what we asked him to do, he did a good job, and, you know, he grew, and it was a good thing to get him in there, man. I think it really helped him.
Is there one guy, who's the one guy, maybe beyond Allen Robinson, because he just had the big game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I guess it would be Yeldon that you'd key on. If you're not a non-smarmy Patriot fan, right? And you're really saying, oh, look, I'm gonna give this the full treatment. I'm really gonna analyze what guy, if conditions were right, could hurt us the most. Offense, defense. I mean, obviously, I would think Allen Robinson drew their attention last week, but.
Sure.
And while TJ Yeldon's carried a bunch and he's shown a few highlight type moments, I don't know if, you know, look, I don't know if he's scaring the New England Patriots, you know. They've seen plenty of better, more accomplished backs through the recent years, and even this year with LeSean McCoy and D'Angelo Williams. Is there anybody? Who is the guy that you say, wow, we can't let him get loose because if they are going to pull the upset, this is the guy that's most likely right in the middle of it?
I think it's Yeldon. I do for the Patriots. I said it yesterday. I think that if I were the Patriots, my game plan would be try to take away the Jaguars' run and make what has been a very inconsistent passing game beat me. That would be what my game plan is, assuming that, look, Brady and those guys are going to put up their points. And I don't want them to ever feel like they can control the pace of this game. And if they are going to feel that way, it's going to be because they can run the ball. So I would look at what this passing game did against Carolina, as well as what they did against Miami, and say, can they do that again? Can they stack up these performances in back-to-back weeks against us? I dare them to, basically, in this game would be my game plan.
Injury report is out this morning.
It is. And let's play the what's the 47-man active roster going to be game for the Jacksonville Jaguars. You got 53 guys on the roster.
Correct.
Okay? So you got 6 game day inactives. 3 guys out from your roster this week. Dwayne Grotz, officially listed as out. Julius Thomas and Branch. All right? So now you're down to 50. Okay, you got your 2 guys that are doubtful. Sendarek Marks, which is nice to see him not just listed as out, but doubtful this week, but so probably not going to play. So now you're down to 49, and Denard Robinson doubtful. So you're probably down to 48, which brings us to our questionable guys this week for the Jags, with just 1 spot to spare on those inactives. Luke Jokel, Brandon Linder, Jonathan Cyprian, all questionable this week. Toby Gerhart officially listed as probable.
Yeah, which is good for Toby, certainly, and the Jags having one more piece of the puzzle back.
But that's the injury situation you're dealing with, just trying to figure out who the heck you're going to have active on a game
I think
day.
Zip will be inactive this week, is my guess. Now, I'm not saying that Linder and Jokel are going to be able to play much, if at all.
Right.
But you know, somebody's got to be
right.
Active.
And last week they juggled it around a little bit. You know, they cut Walters, they signed Peyton Thompson right. to the active roster, and that's how they got away with it last week. You don't even have that option this week. I mean, that's not available to this Jaguars team, and these are the injuries that they're dealing with just trying to make a decision about who's going to be active on game day right now.
Right. Obviously, Brian Walters now will be active as the fourth receiver for this football team with Rashad Green going on injured reserve, designated to return, and Walters being re-signed to the squad. I think, you know, honestly, I mean, he's not the focal point, but I think the wild card for the Jags is Marquise Lee because he does have that open field running ability and that quickness and that burst that if they do look at the film, they say, oh, Allen Robinson, you know what? You can try to take out more than one thing. You could say, you know what? We're going to try to stop the run, double Robinson, and prove to us that these other guys can beat us. Allen Hurns a little gimpy this week. Marquise Lee has got the fresh legs. He's, as far as we know, 100% healthy, and he brings a dynamic athleticism to the mix for the Jags. He is the guy
yeah.
that I think is kind of the – if they're going to pull off the upset, I think he's going to have to make some big plays, some chunk plays, maybe three plays of 20 yards or more, hopefully even longer than that, you know, but maybe a long touchdown, maybe just some field flippers, field position. I don't know if you – even field position, if you're – you're thinking in those terms because the Patriots can score ultimately from anywhere, whether it be a quick drive, a long drive. And they're not going to be intimidated being backed up at their own 10-yard line unless the Jags defense is getting the better of them at that point in time. So, you know, it's flipping the field, but then it's taking advantage of putting points on the board once you do that, too.
Yeah, look, that's what it's going to be about this weekend. It's the Jaguars' ability to finish off drives in the end zone, not settling for field goals when they get those opportunities to score, because I think there are going to be plenty of opportunities for the Jaguars to score points in this game against New England, given their problems on the defensive side of the ball. It's last week against Miami, we talked about it early in the week with Jeff Lagerman. They go up 7-0, give up the field goal coming back the other way for the Dolphins, go back down inside the 5-yard line and have to settle for a field goal. That's good enough to beat Miami. It's not good enough to beat the New England Patriots. If they're going to win this game and pull off the upset on Sunday, that has to be 7 points for this Jacksonville Jaguars team. Now, maybe you feel better about it being 7 with Toby Gerhardt in the game. Maybe you feel worse about it being 7 if Linder can't play, right? I mean, there's a lot of moving pieces for this Jaguars team. It's really hard to say confidently at all that the Jags are going to be able to pull this one off. They're just dealing with so much on the injury front to think that they could go up there and beat this Patriots team that's running the way it is on offense right now is a tall, tall task.
You know what I'd like nothing better than? I'd like nothing better than to have a locker room full of Jaguars after the game say, nobody thought we could win this game.
I'd love it.
Nobody thought we could win this game. I love that. So first of all, I thought nobody listened to what anyone said, right, outside the locker room.
Between my love for the Jaguars and wanting this team to succeed and my outright hatred for the New England Patriots, right? There's just nothing better than watching the entire conversation about the Patriots crumble over the course of a weekend because they lost to the Jaguars at home in that building going into week 3. Oh, that'd be so what? Because they'd have to sit on it for two weeks.
Enjoy your bye week.
2 weeks of people talking about the Jaguars beating that team. It'd be so, so wonderful.
All right, we got to step aside. We will come back, take a look at the fan feedback spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. As we do every Friday, we ask you for your 3 keys to victory. How do you pull the upset if you're the Jags? You told us. We'll share your thoughts coming back next on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. It's Jaguars Today live at Everbank on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, down the stretch we come. Claude Nolan Cadillac brings you Jaguars Today every Friday, the preferred Cadillac dealer in Northeast Florida since 1905. Visit them online, claudenolan.com. Give them a call at 642-5111, or better yet, just stop by 4700 Southside Boulevard for Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor here on Jaguars Today. Tony, I thought we'd harken back to the Jags' illustrious head-to-head history with the New England Patriots. And I just randomly selected one of the games that the Jags have played against the Patriots in their two histories together and happened to come across one on January 3rd of 1999, which was the divisional round of the playoffs, following a year in which the Jaguars went 11-5, the Patriots 9-7. Let's listen in.
The Jaguars owned Super Bowl aspirations as they began the playoffs at home in January of 1999. Those hopes were buoyed by the return of quarterback Mark Brunell, who was back in the lineup for the wild card game against the Patriots for the first time since spraining his ankle a month earlier. Fred Taylor, though, powered the Jags offense for most of the day. The electrifying rookie from Florida carried 33 times for 162 yards, including a 13-yard run through the New England defense for a 12-0 lead at the half. The Jags defense took advantage of the Patriots offense, which played that day without quarterback Drew Bledsoe, and failed to do anything with 8 possessions in the first half. Backup Scott Zolak pulled the Patriots close with 2 second-half scoring drives, and it was a 12-10 ball game early in the fourth. Brunell, though, dialed up his favorite target.
Brunell has Shelton in the backfield, dropping to throw. Brunell with time, looking long down the field for Jimmy Smith, who's got separation, and he makes the catch, touchdown!
Jimmy Smith raced by the defender and delivered a beautiful fingertip catch in the end zone, putting the Jags up 19-10 and on their way to their first home playoff win, and their first and only ever win over New England.
Until this Sunday. Brian Sexton on the highlight package here. Where did you get that one, Tyler Devitt? Where did you dig that up?
I believe it was Jaguars.com.
Jaguars.com would be the landing spot, the launching spot for all things digital for your Jacksonville Jaguars. We appreciate the folks at Jaguars.com for their express implied consent. I walked by Sexton this morning. He gave me a nod. I figured that was implied consent.
So sure.
We're gonna take that. Fred Taylor had a touchdown in that game. Jimmy Smith, that catch was a 37-yarder. Mike Hollis with 4 field goals. Eat your heart out, Vinatieri. And Drew Bledsoe didn't play. I believe it was a case of fear, I believe. He was on the injury report. Questionable in parentheses. Scared.
Scott Zolak.
He's scared. Let's send Zolak out there. Robert Edwards. Remember what a terrific rookie season he had?
Yep.
And then he went to Hawaii for the Pro Bowl. And
yeah, he's the reason the Pro Bowl sucks now.
Exactly. He tore his ankle up playing beach football, right? Before the Pro Bowl game.
They used to do all those skill contests and like the guys were lifting weights and all. It was like interesting to watch.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, Robert Edwards tears up his knee, and we're not allowed to have any fun at the Pro Bowl.
Was it a knee, or was it like an ankle?
I thought it was his knee.
Was it his knee?
I thought so.
Leg injury, regardless. 17 carries for 38 yards. Maybe he was really hurt before then, and we just didn't know. But that's some pretty poor running on your part there, Robert, against the Jaguar defense. Freddie T on the day, 33 carries. Workhorse, 162, including a long of 46 and a 13-yard touchdown.
I'll take that.
Scamper.
I'll take that in a couple days, TJ.
Absolutely. You know what? I'll give you next week off, as a matter of fact. You know, we'll find Bernard Pierce. Get ready for Indy, because TJ's getting it 33 times this week for 162. We like that. All right, keys to victory, Tony. We asked folks to give them to us, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. What are those keys that we were given?
Here's what we got from Steve. Establish the run game. Keep Brady off the field as much as possible and slow down Gronk. From Gabe, Bortles beats Patriots defense. Brady loses to Jags defense. We don't need a third. From Irish Jaguar, hit Brady early and often. Number 2, offense looks like last week's first half. And Toby on 3rd and short. From Brandon, the entire Patriots roster gets food poisoning. Unfortunately, I think that's the Jags' only chance. From Daniel, keys to victory, win the run game, win on 3rd down, win in the red zone. From Clarence, run, TJ, run, outscore the Deflatriots and plenty of air and balls. Go Jags. From Demetrius, defensive backs disrupt the timing of the routes, control the line of scrimmage, believe you can win. From Teal Rising, hit Brady, run the ball, get Alu Alu the ball. Jags undefeated when he has at least one catch.
This is true.
Hashtag analytics.
True stat.
From Al, we got pressure on Brady. Run, monopolize on the sketchy defense, and flight for 60. I'm not sure what exactly that means.
Avoid the smarm as well.
I'll take 60 points, please. From Ian, overinflate the balls. 2, record their practice. 3, turn off their headsets. Seems to work for them. From Eric, close to the same game as last week, run the ball, double Gronk, and take advantage of opportunities. Go Jags. From Joey, run the ball, get to Brady, create turnovers, just win, baby. From Black Dog, cornerbacks have got to play the ball, not just run with the receivers, pressure Brady, and run hard. From Cheating in Victory, Stoff Prime, over there across the pond, stop Gronk, check ball pressure on every interception, pay the refs off. From David, disrupt Brady's pocket, win time of possession, limit turnovers.
You're going to have to go to Robert Kraft's house because he's entertaining the referees at a soiree tonight before the game. So if you're going to pay them off, that's where you'll find them, likely at Kraft's residence. I kid, I think. A couple on Facebook here. We got a bunch of them on Facebook, but a lot of them are longer than I care to read on the air. But I'll read this one from Joshua Lee Wright. He said, one, run the football. Two, bleed the clock slow. And three, convert third downs. And he goes on to say, that's all you can do. You can't stop New England from scoring. You can only slow them down. And the only way you can do that is by buying into the old, a good defense is a strong offense mentality. Did he say that right? I'm not sure. Anyway, I really would like to see us just run for 4 yards every carry and take the play clock down to 1 second before snapping it. Yes, they'll know it's coming. And yes, it will be tough, but this is strength on strength. Our big sloppies up against their big sloppies in trench warfare. Just get it done. Hashtag Jaguars today. Look. If you assume that the Patriots are just going to score every time they get it, even if you run, if you're not punctuating those scoring drives with touchdowns, then what difference does it make? Yes, you're going to bleed the clock. Steve Spurrier never cared about time of possession, Tony. You know what he liked? He liked three-play drives that took about 37 seconds. That's what he liked, and I don't have any problem with that. As long as you're scoring, I don't care if you score quick, slow. I prefer some 12-play beat on them, wear down the defense drives that result in 6 points for the Jags, followed by a two-point conversion, followed by the successful recovery of an onside kick, okay? I like that, okay? But you know, I'll take it any way they can get it. And I do think they need to mix it up. I do think they need to force turnovers in this game. They've got to have a positive turnover margin, maybe a 2-turnover margin to win this game. I don't think it's impossible. I think it's unlikely, but that doesn't mean it's impossible. And I believe that the Jaguars will go there with the mindset that, hey, you know what? We're tired of hearing about what we can't do. This is what we can do. We're tired of hearing about who's not available for us. This is who we're coming with. Look at the guys, how they stepped up last week. Now, is that little pie in the sky? Maybe it turns out to be, but I don't think their mentalities are going to be to go in there like it was against Denver a couple years ago. I got the sense that they really just didn't want to get embarrassed. I don't think that's the mindset. I think their mindset is, let's go shock everybody except ourselves and let's go win this football game. Again, do they have the horses to do that? I'm skeptical with the injury list as long as it is, and that's why they're such big underdogs, but I'm not going to say it's impossible.
That should be their mentality. And I get why, you know, 2 years ago when they went up there to play that game in Denver, why it may not have been, because that roster, I mean, go back and look at it, guys. From an NFL standards position, it is so far, it's just unbelievable that team won 4 games, honestly, with the roster they had that year. But going up to Denver, that's a team that was just steamrolling teams. New England isn't steamrolling opponents. They're winning. Right?
They're playing well in offense,
right.
Playing not so well in defense.
Right. Pittsburgh is a team that they got by without Le'Veon Bell and Martavis Bryant. They got by that team on opening night with the ring ceremony and all that emotion and everything going on. They had a Buffalo team that had the ball with a chance to go tie them up in the fourth quarter of that game on Sunday. They're not steamrolling teams in this league. And the mentality for this team, when we talk about it all offseason, that it needs to change not only for Carolina and Miami, but these types of games too. Where going in and being competitive isn't good enough anymore. Go in and beat the best teams in the conference, because if you're going to have any long-term success, that's what you have to do, is figure out a way to beat the Denvers and the Indianapolises and the New Englands of this conference. If you're ever going to be one of those teams, you got to beat them. And their first opportunity in 2015 comes on Sunday. Competing isn't good enough. Go win the game.
Tonight for you, Episcopal football, what do you got?
Fernandina Beach coming to town. It's my first home game. I've had to go to Savannah, I've had to go to Winter Park, and then I went to West Nassau and Callahan, Florida. So tonight I'll finally just be able to kick back and stay in Duval County.
All right.
Go call a game.
Well, have a good call of the game tonight. I will talk to you on the pregame show, of course, on Sunday. That'll get underway at 10 o'clock here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM, JP Shadrick and myself and a cast of many, many others as we walk you right up until kickoff at 1 o'clock. And you, of course, get the game broadcast, all the post-game, the pre-pre, the post-post, and it's all going to be there for you all day long as the Jags look to pull the early season shocker of the National Football League by getting their second victory of the year. Good luck to the Jags, and enjoy the game this weekend. Hope you catch some of it on 1010XL 92.5 FM. For Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, for Mike Reese of ESPN Boston and for Joe Fortunato. That does it for us. I'm Mike Dempsey signing off on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. That does it for Jaguars today. XL Primetime is next on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.